It's me, Mark Lloyd.
The Mark Lloyd is actually talking to The Rock.
Mark Lloyd.
Has his man wide open. Oh, that's yeah. Bailey at the 15 and 5. Touchdown, Mario Bailey.
Mark Lloyd.
What do we want as a sports fan? Huh? What do we want?
Mark Lloyd.
Have you had any water today?
There's water in my lemonade.
There you go. So I'm not a huge fan of vegetables. Okay, so how can I eat some? This, you know, just blend them up.
Sit back, relax, and let this guy do all the thinking for you. Mark Lloyd.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Mark Lloyd Show. As always, we do appreciate you joining us here bright and early on your Saturday morning. Hopefully, we'll get things going for you, kick off the day, and put the ball right through the uprights. We got the whole gang here. I'm talking fast already because, you know, we were going in our pre-show meeting and everything. We're going down the list of all these different things we need to talk about. So some of Bill's message to me was, you know, Mark, you have no time to dilly-dally, and that's the old-school term that Simonville likes to use once in a while. So we got to get right to the point. But first, as always, let's welcome the gang. Simonville, how are you?
Hey, feeling spunky today, sir, with the old-term school language.
Yes, there you go. And Terminus Eric, he was a little more peppy this morning.
Peppy?
What's up?
There you go. We got a what's up, Simonville.
That sounds memorable.
Yeah. No, there's nothing wrong with that. Well, I always have a smile on my face when we get ready to do this show because we get to do what we love. You know, we love sports and we love to talk about sports and get the comments and feedback from our audience out there. So that's why I have a smile. But I have a bigger smile on my face this week because I really, when Phil Steele's magazine comes out and starts shipping out, and I actually start seeing the college football preseason magazines in the grocery store. They might have been out another week or something, but I just recently saw them this week. And it just put a smile on my face because, to me, Seminole Bill, the wait is almost over. Am I right?
You are so correct. The you know, we always say that spring practice is kind of like gentlemen's rev your engines, you know, and start your engines up. And so we get that little push right there, and we're feeling pretty good going into the what we call the dead time. You know, we can talk a little bit about certain things, recruiting and stuff, but the dead zone, you know, in the middle of waiting from the spring finale till, August when the guys get back in there and start really popping pads for the fall routine. You know, it's just, you can feel it now. It's like, okay, it's almost like, you know, when you walk out on the baseball field and the grass smells freshly cut. It's just like, it's that time of year. It's getting close. We're ready to go.
Yeah, do you get excited like me when you see the magazines and you see cover and everything like that? You flip right to your favorite team. And then what I love about Phil Steele and a lot of these magazines, and as everybody knows out there, I'm a big fan of lists. I love when they just start ranking everything. You know, the best running back unit in the country, the best wide receiving unit in the country, the best kicking unit. And I'm reading all of these and I should be taking with a grain of salt, but I guess it's just the passion that lives within us that you do, you know, you start arguing with the magazine. What are you talking about? What are you, crazy? What? Why would you? No way. This guy, and those are all the thoughts that come out when you're flipping through the magazine. And it does. It just puts a smile on my face. I mean, and then this year is even a little more special because I'm so fired up for Jameis Winston to be with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and to possibly be the starting quarterback. So I'm looking at August 1st, basically, is when most of the NFL camps open up. So we have a great storyline to follow along with famous Jameis there. And also a storyline that I'm really looking forward to in the NFL is Marcus Mariota, too. Because, you know, we follow the kid, great guy, tremendous athlete. But we're curious to see how he does for the Tennessee Titans. So we have those two initial storylines. And then in college football, some of the, you and I know, we're going to be talking about a million different storylines as we lead up to, you know, August and then even opening day. But as of right now, on June 20th, right? Today's the 20th, correct?
Yeah.
On June 20th, I'm looking at some of the top teams in college football that are projected to be, you know, a top 10 team, possibly make the playoff, but whatever. You know, the big boys out there. Florida State, Alabama, Oregon, LSU, Georgia, Ohio State. And I'm going down the list, and even I say the Gators just because they're a big school, even though they're awful right now. And I've never seen a year that has so many question marks surrounding the quarterback position. Not that they don't have talent like Ohio State, but you don't know who the starting guy is out of three of them. Not that Florida State doesn't have talent, but you don't know who the starting quarterback is. Alabama, you don't know who the starting quarterback is. LSU just suspended their possible starting quarterback in Jennings. You know, Oregon is counting on Vernon Adams, that transfer in, to be their starting quarterback. But now it says that he can't join the Ducks until he passes a math class. Bill, when's the last time you could look back and see at the most important position for the top teams out there and go, wow, what's going on?
Yeah,
why so much uncertainty?
Been a while. I mean, you know, things cycle. I mean, we always talk about cycles in sports and, you know, when teams are up and down. But this year, yeah, I mean, you know, if we were going to have a year as you know, a seminal perspective where, okay, we just lost, like, your all-everything guy and your, you know, your big leader and a few other folks along the way over the past few years, the fact that you look down the schedule and go, you know what, they're still breaking in their guy. You know, he's been there a year. Or he's, you know, they're going to have a new guy this year that you know, they rotated out a couple guys at key positions. It makes you say, well, thank you. You know, sometimes they call the football gods lined up, and maybe this season, as challenging as it looked at first, pre-Everett Golson and a few other things, and, you know, before the spring game, we didn't know how good these young guys coming in were going to be. Maybe now we have that, what we call ray of hope in sports that says, you know, hey, a few things drop this way, drop that way, we might be right in the thick of it. You never know.
That is true. And so now what I'm looking at is out of, let me think, the teams, because of what you said just then, the jump out at me then that we should favor is obviously Ohio State. They don't know who their guy is, but all three of them have proven themselves. Unlike Florida State, unlike Alabama, unlike Oregon, you know, any of those, is Ohio State. TCU brings back Boykin. So that's their quarterback. And then, you know, a team that has kind of been left out a little bit, that has arguably one of the best quarterbacks in the country, some of the bill, and that is Clemson with Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
If he can stay healthy, he is dynamic. I mean, he is a superstar, no doubt about it. Five-star kid, but he's living up to the billing. But the problem with him is he's always injured, it seems.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, he's every bit a prototype that you want in college. He's got decent size. He keeps his eyes downfield, and when he's, you know, moving in the pocket, he can run. He can get outside if he needs to, and he's usually pretty smart with the ball. And boy, you can tell the difference when he's in there. It's just like when FSU had, you know, Jameis in there. He's a guy that comes in, charges up the guys, and they move the ball down the field. And with that, you know, the dynamic that Clemson brings to the offensive side of the football for the past few years, you know, if you've got someone in there that can run the star position on the offensive side, then you have a chance of beating anybody.
Yeah, I agree. And you know what? You brought this up numerous times last year, and I think Deshaun Watson has it, and that is, it's just that it factor.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And that's what you're – I mean, Winston had the it factor. It just – bottom line is he knew what to do. You know, Peter Warwick had the it factor. No, he wasn't the fastest guy on earth. He was fast. But it's just that – I don't know. I don't know how you explain it other than it's the it factor, as silly as that sounds. So that's why if you're a Clemson fan, you're really excited because of the uncertainty. If you're TCU, Ohio State, and Clemson, you're very excited about your opportunities because of the uncertainty at the quarterback position with some of the other top programs that are out there in the country, even Georgia. You know, Georgia's always one of those teams that you expect to be in the running. I mean, they're always talk for a national championship. And, you know, so much uncertainty there. LSU seems to be in shambles with their quarterback position, and they won't go anywhere without it. They got arguably the best running back in the country. So, I don't know. It's very exciting. Now, folks, similar though, brought up this topic to me about, I don't know, 6 weeks ago. And we've been waiting for the right moment to bust it out. And it's perfect timing. And that is technology in sports. Now, we got to take a break. But when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about technology in sports and just also the new science that goes into creating these great athletes nowadays. But we're going to go old school and look back on some of the great athletes from the past. And I'll tell you why this topic is relevant today when we come back right here on the Mark Lloyd Show. Stay with us.
You're the person your company, family, and friends turn to when something needs to get planned. A meeting, an out-of-town conference, sporting event, reunion, church function, or a sorority or fraternity event. What a headache. Well, there's a little secret that's going to make your life a lot easier and make you look like a hero. Bassett Events is a professional events, conference, and meeting planning service right here in Tallahassee. And they provide site selection and contract negotiation services to you at no cost. Yep, no cost. As long as your event requires at least 10 hotel rooms for one or more nights. You see, Bassett Events gets paid by the hotel, resort, or vendor, and they'll negotiate the best possible rates for you. Bassett Events saves you time, money, and aggravation, but still keeps you in control of the decision-making process. It's one-stop shopping, and you'll be a hero because it'll be our little secret. Bassett Events, exceeding expectations one event at a time. Call 877-7-EVENT-1, 877-7-EVENT-1, online at BassettEvents.com.
This is Bill Bassett
and Eric Sweeney
with Bassett Promotions, producers of The Mark Lloyd Show. Want to put your brand with a proven winner? Outstanding advertising and sponsor opportunities are currently available for The Mark Lloyd Show. Give us a call at 877-738-3681, and we'll discuss ways to get your company on the airwaves right here where Tallahassee comes to talk on the all-new Freedom 93 FM.
This is Seminole Bill.
And Terminus Eric.
Are you ready for Wakulla Fun Fest?
Wakulla Fun Fest?
Yeah, Wakulla Fun Fest. You know, the big shindig down off 319 in Crawfordville in Hudson Park?
Yeah, it kicks off Friday, July 3rd from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m.
They'll have a variety of food trucks, arts and craft vendors, a kid zone with fun activities, an Arctic chill zone. Now that's a lot of fun festing.
Yeah, and admission is free.
Don't forget the entertainment. Local and regional bands during the day with a featured act to close things out during the evening. Terminus, do you know what time it is? It's time to head to Wakulla Fun Fest. Wakulla's premier event starts Friday, July 3rd from 11 a.m. till dark in Hudson Park off 319 in Crawfordville. Food and fun for everyone. Join me, Seminole Bill,
and Terminus Eric
from The Mark Lloyd Show with our good friends from Freedom 93 FM and all our wonderful sponsors and vendors. Check out WakullaFunFest.com. That's WakullaFunFest.com. Join us at FunFest.
Hey, y'all. In Wakulla County, we stay at the Magnuson Hotel Wildwood Inn because they sponsor FunFest.
And now, a man that knows everything, Mark Lloyd.
Welcome back to the Mark Lloyd Show. Thanks for hanging with us as you do each and every Saturday morning up here in Tallahassee. We got, still coming up on the show, we have our entertainment segment. We have a water check in our fitness tip. And our entertainment segment is going to be great, as it is every week, because it was the season finale of Game of Thrones. We're going to look ahead to what our next show is, and plus we have the Wakulla Fun Fest that is right around the corner, July 3rd, and we're kind of focused on doing, you know, a certain segment of what we can expect from the Wakulla Fun Fest, which will feature our very own celebrity guest host, Seminole Bill, and Terminus Eric will be there. So we're excited to talk about that again later on in the show during our entertainment segment. But before I went to break, I mentioned technology and sports. And someone who brought this topic up, actually it was 6-8 weeks ago, and he said, I don't know what brought it up, Bill. Was it like you were watching tennis and you said, gee, I wonder how great John McEnroe would be with today's tennis rackets? You said something like that.
We were originally kind of where all this circulated around was the technology, the they were doing an article about the Seminoles and their technology and how they're using these different data collectors, if you will, with their football team to, you know, track pretty much, you know, everything they do and how it's really led to them using some new exciting ways of training, methods of training. How long do we run them? How long do we, you know, rest them? How long, do we do this or that? Are they operating at peak efficiency? And it was, the technology that I think, Mark, that I was talking to, you know, it's kind of revolutionary now. It's getting going to be more mainstream. But they were all wearing, like, these mini little GPS devices almost. It came from Australia, believe it or not, from Australia. Some people over there developed it for their Australian football teams over there. So anyway, that kind of led to us thinking about, well, wow, you know, what happens if some of these athletes in the past had technology or just better improvements to equipment even, you know. We talked about the wooden rackets that McEnroe, Borg, and Connors used to play. Well, Connors finally got the teeth, you know, the aluminum one, the little pack one. But could you imagine those guys today with, you know, launching the bombs that they did back then even and having a McEnroe or a Connors or a Becker, boom, boom, serving with some of the technology that the guys had the past few years? Would you even have a tennis match? It would be just all, you know, to ace, 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 you know?
It is interesting. And what's great about the topic that you brought up is that it really does transcend sports, but also it hits every sport. It's not specific to any particular sport. And that's why I find it so intriguing. And we were talking about it, and just, yesterday, I read how the Bucks are turning to virtual reality to speed Winston's development at quarterback, and it's a virtual reality system. And Stanford uses it, Clemson uses it. The only NFL team that has used it is the Dallas Cowboys. But now it will be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and I guess it just, you know, you could visualize and go through all the different stuff, but one quarterback who was Brandon Whedon, who's a backup quarterback at the Cowboys, I'm pretty sure, what he was saying about it is what makes it so neat is that you could rewind it as many times as you want and really get a grasp of fine-tuning each play. Where he says, you know, when you're out there on the field, it happens so fast, you're kind of running plays, and he was like, you know, it's rapid fire. And in there, it gives you the ability to rewind and really understand it. So think of just that. Think of maybe the technology that Winston had, that if you even go back to who was, you know, a Ken Stabler, a Bart Starr, you know, a Fran Tarkenton, you know, quarterbacks like that, a Joe Montana.
Yeah.
Somerville. You know, you could say, you know, he grasped everything perfectly, but boy, with even that much more knowledge that they have nowadays, you know, how much better would Joe Montana, how much better could he have been when it came to using technology like that? What's another athlete? I just mentioned, think of another athlete that intrigues you a little bit, that you say, wow, Mark, if they had this kind of spikes or they had this kind of bat, or who out there jumps out at you kind of when you grew up, you know, in the 70s and 80s?
Oh, good Lord. I was sitting there thinking about this and before, and I mean, like you said, whether it's an upgrade in the technology that you can use legally in the game or just training, how much better? Does it make you better, or were these great athletes just, I guess, I'm going to say this from experience. Emmitt Smith said it well one time. You know, I had the pleasure of watching him in high school. I missed him by a year. Wish I could have played with him. He was, we're alumni through high school in Escambia. But I remember talking to him one day on the sideline watching the game, and he said it so well. He goes, "It's how you have, what do you do, what do you know that everybody else doesn't, even at the high school level?" And it's like, well, he says, it's like I just see the hole where it's going to be. It's like in my mind, it's going to be there, and I just react. And I thought about that. And I said, well, that's how all the great ones are. And like, you know, Charlie Ward here. How many times have we watched Charlie get out of a situation, spin around, run this way, miss a tackle? He wasn't the fastest quarterback, but it was hard to catch that Joker when he got going.
Yeah.
Michael Vick, holy cow, back in the day, you know, playing us in the Sugar Bowl in New Orleans.
Yeah.
I remember being there and watching just the sheer ability to know how to just take off, you know, right at the right minute, make three guys miss you, and you're up the road, you know, somewhere else. But, I mean, you know,
yeah.
I mean, with this virtual technology, I mean, what you just said is like, you know, you learn a lot through watching film of what happened. Okay, how do I correct that mistake? You know, the coach will sit there and you'll, you know, back in the days, in our days, a little real thing, you sit there in the locker room and everybody's watching it. Well, you know, as it progressed, you know, at the college level and pros, you're in there in the film room studying, you know, video back and forth, like the coaches were back in the old days. It's passed down to the players now, and it's up incumbent upon you to do that study to know exactly what the guy I'm going to go up against next week. You know, if I'm the quarterback and I'm, you know, watching my checks, if I'm looking at, you know, their coverage, does this guy over here tip his hand as to what he's playing? Is he playing man? Is he playing zone? Is he over under? Is he, you know, kind of come off the corner and blitz me? What is all these little things that I can pick up on that they do, their tendencies, how they call their defense, how they change things? If they change this, how do I audible into that? All those little things. I mean, can you imagine a Charlie with that technology? I mean, he was great. Does, you know, that's what I wonder. Does it make you better, or does it make everybody else so much better that everyone doesn't stand out?
That is a wash. You know? You know, what's interesting is that at first I'm thinking, yeah, it makes them so much better. Well, that's true. But then as you explained it more, Somerville, all I kept on thinking was, yeah, but whoever he's going against has the same technology. So they're probably, you know, that much more advanced. So I guess maybe it just continues to wash out.
That's what you never know. The thing is, what makes the great ones great is their instincts. That's the things that you can't teach. The it factor you said, that is exactly what it is. It's like Emmett Smith said, I don't know, you know, he was definitely not the fastest running back, but I rarely saw Emmett get caught from behind when he could be running down the field and you see this guy coming at an angle and say, oh, he's going to get clobbered. And all of a sudden he just, out of nowhere, just makes a little shift to stop a move and Emmett's going in for a touchdown.
Yeah,
you know? Same thing. But
Let me ask you this then. What about people that ran great times? Let's jump to like Jesse Owens.
Oh yeah.
Back
gosh.
In the day. Okay. Yeah. So he wins all the gold medals. He's clearly the fastest person. It would be neat to be able, and I bet you somebody has, and I just don't know it, maybe you don't know it. To take Owens, to incorporate the training nowadays that like an Usain Bolt has.
Right.
And somehow have like that dream matchup and say, okay, if Jesse Owens trained like Usain Bolt, has all the same technology, oh, he would have beat Usain Bolt by 1/10 of a second. Or, you know what, even with all that, it wouldn't have mattered. Bolt's just that great of an athlete. And if he would reverse him and put him back in time, he would beat Jesse Owens in 1932. You know what I mean? So I guess that would be fun, wouldn't it? To try to figure that stuff out.
It would definitely kind of integrate the ages, if you will. You could go back and say, how much better was Billy Kilmer? How much better, like you said, was Fran Tarkenton? Kenny the Snake Stabler, you know, Joe Willie Namath. Roger Staubach and Terry Bradshaw, just several generations back. How much better could they have been? You know, Randall Cunningham. I mean, all those QBs that I think of that were great in their own right. Would they have been better? Would the defenses have been better? Would a guy like Derrick Brooks or Marvin Shadetree Jones, who just is getting ready to have his number retired, how much tougher an athlete could they have been? I mean, they were very hard workers on the field. Deion Sanders, can you imagine Deion? You know,
how much faster would he have ran?
I'm saying, he was already a 4.2. You know, what do you do? You know, so I mean, that's incredible stuff to think about. It's a lot of fun.
But you know what? Though, okay, let me ask you about this guy now, because when you were talking just then, I was trying to think of a Nolan Ryan.
Yeah.
And he was throwing 100 miles an hour. And remember him and J.R. Richard? Remember J.R. Richard also?
You didn't want to get in a box with J.R. because J.R. you know, would fling it fast, but sometimes wild. But,
he was a little shaky.
He was great.
Okay, but here's my thing, though. Those guys were throwing that hard. Do you think with today's, and I won't say technology, but sports science behind it about the rest and everything like that, do you think that would have made them throw faster and be better? Or the sometimes today's sports science possibly have a negative effect? Because I heard Nolan Ryan talking about all these Tommy John surgeries that take place, and I'm wondering, did they happen just as much back in his day? Or because from the start, they were always meant to throw, you know what I mean? Throw, once they became mature, and an awful lot of innings, and that built up their stamina. Maybe that built up their tendons, where nowadays people are trained for five innings, right? And then that's it. And then your arm's not used to it. So that's another question. Does it ever have an adverse effect on today's athletes?
It's an interesting question, especially with baseball and pitchers. As someone that threw a lot, you know, I had the benefit as a, you know, back in the day of being able to play for three different teams a year back before this was ever heard of. You know, now it's commonplace to be playing almost year-round baseball for the young guys, for the kids, you know.
Yeah.
And so you develop. Do you wear them out, or are you not giving them enough time to take off? I mean, it didn't hurt me back in the day. I threw a lot of ball. And I was, you know, throwing in the mid 90s, you know, bringing it in the uppers when I could. But these guys today, you look back at those guys, like you said, would it have hindered them, or the technology, would it have forced them to change something that maybe didn't give them the longevity? You were right to talk about pitchers first in this, because back in the day, like we talked about, the sign of a great pitcher wasn't, you know, could he come in and shut you down for a couple of innings? It was how long into the game could he go? Could he throw a complete game? Could he throw a no-hitter? Could he, you know, have the perfect game? Those were the marks you did back then, you know. And Nolan, man, how many shutouts, you know? How many
no-hitters? Seven no-hitters, I remember.
You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying.
Sure. No, yeah.
That's exact. I mean, you look at that, and then you know, you say, wow, you know, those guys were workhorses. They really were. They brought it at such a high velocity consistently throughout the game. You didn't see any throwing the ball, you know, near 100 miles an hour almost every pitch within 5 to 10 miles an hour, you know. And I wonder about that too. And then flip it over. And what if Nolan Ryan, with all that wonderful stuff, is now, you know, pitching against a Pete Rose that just was the best hitter of all time. I mean, just pure hitter. And what, you know, Pete was a, you know, say what you want about Pete, he was one of my favorites growing up, but just imagine any extra edge that guy could get, because he'd take it. He wanted everything.
Yeah, no, that's
a good point. How many more hits could he have had? I mean, you know, Hank Aaron, would he have been, you know, a better hitter?
Would he have had 800 home runs?
Babe Ruth.
You know,
Dan Usual, Ty Cobb.
About this. You know what, though? Can you think of, off the top of my head, real quick, I can't think of another, I can't think of another position in any sport that maybe had an adverse effect like it possibly might have on the pitching game, because when it comes to, like, batters, they get bigger, stronger, faster. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, you know what I mean? But pitching's such a unique thing, because it's not always about how big, strong, and fast you are, you know?
That's
just, you know, so that okay, now, this is, it's same stuff, technology now and science, but more so, well, not necessarily more so with either one of them, but it's kind of off the beaten path. But I often thought, what happens if Arnold Schwarzenegger nowadays with, and it is illegal substances, but it is legal when it comes to what they do. Imagine him, how big he would have been if he would have had today's technology, today's supplements, and then today's wink-wink supplements that they take, you know. I mean, he was that big in the 70s. What would he have looked like with everything they know today in the sport of bodybuilding? Can you only – I mean, holy smokes, Bill.
Yeah, I only think of one thing when I think of Arnold. I'll be back. So.
Yeah.
He would have been massive. I just – muscles upon muscles upon muscles.
I mean, that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking the exact same thing. Yes, I'm sure with a wink there were some supplements back, no doubt about it, but nothing like what these guys have today. You can see in the different bodies. But he was such a freak of how big certain parts of his body were from just his God-given – genetics. So I don't know.
Yeah.
It you know, we got to take a break, Bill. But I love that topic, and we'll bring it up again as we think of more athletes and more interesting scenarios in regards to technology in sports, looking ahead and looking, you know, in the past. But when we come back, you're going to laugh, but let's talk a little women's soccer. But I'll tell you why, because the FIFA World Cup's going on. And, yes, we're bringing up soccer again, but trust me, I'm going to segue it into a broader topic. So stay with us here on the Mark Lloyd Show. Don't go anywhere.
You're the person your company, family, and friends turn to when something needs to get planned. A meeting, an out-of-town conference, sporting event, reunion, church function, or a sorority or fraternity event. What a headache. Well, there's a little secret that's going to make your life a lot easier and make you look like a hero. Bassett Events is a professional events, conference, and meeting planning service right here in Tallahassee. And they provide site selection and contract negotiation services to you at no cost. Yep, no cost. As long as your event requires at least 10 hotel rooms for one or more nights. You see, Bassett Events gets paid by the hotel, resort, or vendor, and they'll negotiate the best possible rates for you. Bassett Events saves you time, money, and aggravation, but still keeps you in control of the decision-making process. It's one-stop shopping, and you'll be a hero because it'll be our little secret. Bassett Events, exceeding expectations one event at a time. Call 877-7-EVENT-1, 877-7-EVENT-1, online at BassettEvents.com.
This is Bill Bassett
and Eric Sweeney
with Bassett Promotions, producers of The Mark Lloyd Show. Want to put your brand with a proven winner? Outstanding advertising and sponsor opportunities are currently available for The Mark Lloyd Show. Give us a call at 877-738-3681, and we'll discuss ways to get your company on the airwaves right here where Tallahassee comes to talk on the all-new Freedom 93 FM.
This is Seminole Bill.
And Terminus Eric.
Are you ready for Wakulla Fun Fest?
Wakulla Fun Fest?
Yeah, Wakulla Fun Fest. You know, the big shindig down off 319 in Crawfordville in Hudson Park?
Yeah, it kicks off Friday, July 3rd from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m.
They'll have a variety of food trucks, arts and craft vendors, a kid zone with fun activities, an Arctic chill zone. Now that's a lot of fun festing.
Yeah, and admission is free.
Don't forget the entertainment. Local and regional bands during the day with a featured act to close things out during the evening. Terminus, do you know what time it is? It's time to head to Wakulla Fun Fest. Wakulla's premier event starts Friday, July 3rd from 11 a.m. till dark in Hudson Park off 319 in Crawfordville. Food and fun for everyone. Join me, Seminole Bill,
and Terminus Eric
from The Mark Lloyd Show with our good friends from Freedom 93 FM and all our wonderful sponsors and vendors. Check out WakullaFunFest.com. That's WakullaFunFest.com. Join us at FunFest.
Hey, y'all. In Wakulla County, we stay at the Magnuson Hotel Wildwood Inn because they sponsor FunFest.
Saturday, everybody. Thanks for joining us here on The Mark Lloyd Show in Tallahassee, Florida. Great day. Hot. It's very hot out in Somerville right now. Every day, isn't it?
Oh, are you kidding? Yeah, you could fry eggs.
Yes, you could fry eggs, no doubt about it. I guess that's why it's so hot here. I guess that's why they're playing the Women's World Cup in Canada right now. Because when I'm watching them out there running around, it doesn't look as hot as it does here in Florida, that's for sure. It looks nice and peaceful and looks like it's just a perfect temperature out, which is what I really wanted to talk about. No, not the temperature, but women's soccer, and not women's soccer in general, but the World Cup's going on. Our women's team is one of the favorites to win it all, right, Somerville?
That's correct.
Okay. Yet our men's team is one of the worst. I mean, they're in the bottom half. They're not the worst. They're in the bottom half. Nobody's expecting them to, you know, go on any kind of run to win the World Cup. It's been like that since I remember watching a World Cup in '92. That's about as far back as I go when it comes to the World Cup. So we've had 25 years, and people could say the program has progressed. At the same time, though, we're not, and when we play the World Cup in Brazil, a couple of years ago, they were not expected to win. When it comes in 2018, they will not be expected to win. If I looked at the men's soccer team or soccer in general in this country, I don't know of any athlete that is American-born that you can say rivals the Ronaldos, the Messis, the Wayne Rooneys, the Van Persies, you know, Ozil, you know, any of those guys around the country. And that's weird. And that's strange because in any other sport, pretty much, that we play a lot of, we dominate this country. And I mean, it just, any of the major sports that this country plays, we dominate. So we have an MLS league, and we've had one for how long now, Bill? How long has MLS been around? 10, 15, 20 years? I don't know, something like that, right? It's been around a long time.
Yeah. Soccer's been, I mean, soccer in itself has been around since, I mean, back in the 70s with the Rowdies when I was in Tampa, you know?
So let me ask you a question. Why is our women's team one of the best in the world, and why is our men's soccer team nowhere near that, and I don't foresee them being anywhere in that area in the near future? What is your theory?
I would say developmentally, I mean, we are starting, you know, over the past few decades, we've gotten a little better in certain areas. You know, the popularity of the sport rose substantially as we were able to get through the first round and, you know, play a little bit more and get, you know, get it more popular. So that part's coming along. We just, you know, just need to develop. You know, it hasn't been, at least going back, one of our primary sports like it is in other countries. I mean, you have so many choices of what to play. I mean, we go back to our days. You grew up playing on the sandlot, playing baseball or football or whatever it was, basketball. I mean, our major sports were baseball, football, basketball. Those were your three main ones. Soccer was kind of the, you know, it came along. And then it started coming along, and then you start having the term the soccer moms taking their kids down. You know, it's becoming more mainstream as we see some things happening. But that's what it's going to take. It's going to take at that level. I mean, we talk about it all the time. You know, is baseball here losing the interest of the younger crowds, you know, and will the concussion, items that they talk about discourage youth from playing earlier football? All those things are what have helped us be great in the other sports. But I will tell you where the women excel, and that's a sport that, you know, that traditionally the women have done, you know, fairly well at the past years in the Cubs. They excel because I think the coaching that they're getting, and the development of those players and being able to get foreign players to come here and play. You look at the roster and you know, you can get some of those players to come over and play. And you have a lot of different, the different teams I'm watching right now with you on, you know, at the Cup. You see that they've played their college years, if you will, here in the States. Which is speaks to the to the tempo and the magnitude of maybe they are onto something at that level that they're doing very well where the men haven't gotten there. Think about this: how many colleges have men's soccer teams compared to ladies?
That's a valid question. I don't know that. I think you touched on it earlier in your answer, a little bit. And here's my thought process. Is that when it comes to the women's soccer, the epitome is the best athletes play soccer because that's the future. There's the Women's Basketball League, but that is what they're growing up in that they can become. There's not four choices for the five-star soccer girl or five-star girl athlete in high school. You know what I mean? Right. There's just not. It's like, I go play soccer. You know, maybe college basketball, but I go play soccer because that's the future. I'm going to go play softball because I got to start making a choice here. Where's the future? Where can I possibly make some money one day? Well, I can make it on the soccer field. I really can. I can make possibly millions of dollars. Other people have done that. When it comes to the guys, you touched on it, is that our core sports are hockey, baseball, football, and basketball, but soccer's been around long enough. The problem with soccer is our great athletes look at the choices. And if not because maybe they love those sports so much, they look at the end game. And the end game is money. And so the end game is fame, fame and money. If I'm a five-star kid in high school, you know, I can do whatever I want. I'm not playing soccer because guess what? The best I could do is land with an MLS team, an MLS team, because I don't know how good I am against the Ronaldos and the Messis, because the only way I'll know that is if I roll the dice and go overseas somewhere where nobody watches me play. I don't know anybody. And then I'm going to get paid X amount of dollars. Whoa, whoa, whoa. How about I stay here and go play basketball, make $5 million a year, and if I'm any good, the fame will come. I go play football, or I'll go play baseball, and I'm going to get my big, giant paycheck that I can play in front of my friends in my home country. So our best athletes, I think, Bill, we would dominate soccer like we do every other sport, right? When it comes to Olympics, you can sit there and say, well, you know, when it comes to the summer games, for the most part, and even some of the winter stuff, is that we dominate a lot of the summer games because there's money there. There's money for those sprinters. They're making, you know, who's our guy? That, you know, I mean, he's, you know, they're making hundreds of thousands of dollars, and possibly millions of dollars. The sprinter I was thinking that came out of Florida State, that was in the Olympics last time.
Oh, right.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that, so when it comes to our great, if all of our great athletes went and played soccer, I guarantee you, we'd be the favorite to win the World Cup. So instead of Michael Vick throwing a football, put his speed out there with a soccer ball in front of him. Let me see anybody catch him. You know what I mean? The brain behind it. So, you know, we got to take a break, but I that's my theory. And it's our best athletes don't go play soccer, and they never will until some epiphany happens and soccer players from our country start making millions of dollars in the sport. Not three or four, but all of them start making it, and the publicity comes with it, and you see them constantly on television. Then the kids that have the choice to make when the time comes will choose soccer. Okay, we got to take a break. When we come back, we have our water check, our fitness tip, and of course, our entertainment segment. All that coming up right here on the Mark Lloyd Show.
This is Seminole Bill.
And Terminus Eric.
Are you ready for Wakulla Fun Fest?
Wakulla Fun Fest?
Yeah, Wakulla Fun Fest. You know, the big shindig down off 319 in Crawfordville in Hudson Park?
Yeah, it kicks off Friday, July 3rd from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m.
They'll have a variety of food trucks, arts and craft vendors, a kids zone with fun activities, an Arctic chill zone. Now that's a lot of fun festing.
Yeah, and admission is free.
Don't forget the entertainment. Local and regional bands during the day with a featured act to close things out during the evening. Terminus, do you know what time it is? It's time to head to Wakulla Fun Fest. Wakulla's premier event starts Friday, July 3rd from 11 a.m. till dark in Hudson Park off 319 in Crawfordville. Food and fun for everyone. Join me, Seminole Bill,
and Terminus Eric
from the Mark Lloyd Show with our good friends from Freedom 93 FM and all our wonderful sponsors and vendors. Check out WakullaFunFest.com. That's WakullaFunFest.com. Join us at FunFest.
Hey, y'all. In Wakulla County, we stay at the Magnuson Hotel Wildwood Inn because they sponsor FunFest.
You're the person your company, family, and friends turn to when something needs to get planned. A meeting, an out-of-town conference, sporting event, reunion, church function, or a sorority or fraternity event. What a headache. Well, there's a little secret that's going to make your life a lot easier and make you look like a hero. Bassett Events is a professional events, conference, and meeting planning service right here in Tallahassee. And they provide site selection and contract negotiation services to you at no cost. Yep, no cost. As long as your event requires at least 10 hotel rooms for one or more nights. You see, Bassett Events gets paid by the hotel, resort, or vendor, and they'll negotiate the best possible rates for you. Bassett Events saves you time, money, and aggravation, but still keeps you in control of the decision-making process. It's one-stop shopping, and you'll be a hero because it'll be our little secret. Bassett Events, exceeding expectations one event at a time. Call 877-7-EVENT-1, 877-7-EVENT-1, online at BassettEvents.com.
Last segment here on the Mark Lloyd Show. As always, Seminole Bill can back me up. We appreciate everybody taking the time out of your week and your busy Saturday morning to hang out with us and talk a little sports. A lot of good stuff going on in the world of sports and a lot of good stuff going on in this segment. So let's get right to it. We kick things off with our water check. We know the importance of drinking lots of water every single day, so we try to do that. Our Austin Idol water check. I am at a whopping 79 ounces, so I'm down 3 ounces from last week. Seminole Bill, am I still in first place?
You are the lucky dog, 74.
Oh, my Lord. You are gaining 5 ounces ahead of you. Hang on. That was my acting like I was drinking more water. Yeah. So I 79. Some of the bills at 74. Temperature there comes in at
61.
Yeah.
You know
what?
Admirable.
Admirable 61.
You know what? Terminus Eric is making sure he's going to be hydrated for the Wakulla Fun Fest.
You know that.
And he knows that in order to be hydrated in one on that day with maybe a different kind of liquid, he needs to be hydrated ahead of time to make sure he can withstand and absorb that liquid on July 3rd. So we'll get into more of those, and I can only imagine the stories that are going to come out of the Fun Fest. But,
yes.
You know, we digress a little bit. Our fitness tip this week, guys, are you ready for this?
Let's have it.
Okay. This fitness tip for men's fitness is called fight fatigue. And what they're saying is fatigue may be your biggest enemy when endurance training. And so here's some of the tips. And now I won't be doing this, so this is for the hardcore people. They said, first, drink beet juice. That's B-E-E-T juice. It can actually increase your stamina by up to 16%, and it helps your muscles produce more energy, more efficiency, and it helps make exercising less exhausting. Okay. Good luck with that. I don't like beets. I will never drink beet juice, so I'm going to suffer and take 16% less. But here's one thing that I can do. Another way to boost your performance is by carefully selecting, I love that word, carefully selecting your music. Because a recent study suggested that when people listen to favorable music, their blood vessels expand 26%, which means you fight fatigue. Yeah, I thought that was a really interesting, that might be one of the best tips we've given out on the show in the past year. I really like that. Okay, now to our entertainment segment. Before we get to the Call of Fun Fest, this past week was the season finale of Game of Thrones, and why the show pulls in 19, 20 million people to watch their show on HBO, which is unheard of, is because of stuff like this. I mean, they whack off big-time characters. They kill them off, and they shock you. They shock the living you-know-what out of you. So this past week, they kill, arguably at the time, my favorite character, Stannis Baratheon. So they axed him. He's dead. Yes, he's dead. Sansa. The storyline with her is her and Theon Greyjoy, who also slashed his name is Reek because he's been brainwashed, they escape from Winterfell. So that's a storyline going into next season. Khaleesi, the mother of dragons, escapes on the previous episode on her dragon, but now she's in the middle of nowhere, and the Dothraki, is how you pronounce it, surround her now. That used to be her people before she fled, so we're going to see what happens there. But the number one shocking moment this past week is Jon Snow, one of the biggest stars on the show, the head of Castle Black and the Night's Watch, his own people stab him and kill him as a traitor, and he's gone. And that was shocking. I'm not kidding you. That was shocking. Now, on to something more more uplifting than that. But I look forward to next year. It takes a year to make the episode, so they start filming in July, and everything will be back in April, I think, of next year is when the first episode. But we have Fear of Dead coming up in the summer, so we have that to look forward to. But before we get into that, July 3rd is the first ever Wakulla Fun Fest. It's going to be a fantastic day, food and fun for everyone. It's at Hudson Park up there in Wakulla, right?
Crawfordville.
Okay. 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 Right there in Crawfordville. Okay. For more information, I'm going to throw this out there. Then I want to ask, I got some questions because the website is wakullafunfest.com. Also, go to the Facebook page, facebook.com/wakullafunfest, or they could even call 877 738-3681 to get more information. And we're going to talk about this event because it sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. Our very own Seminole Bill and Terminus Eric are guest celebrity hosts, along with Will from the Will Dance Show, the Pirate Hunter, and Junior. They're going to be there, all representing Freedom 93, our home radio station. So last week, we talked to Seminole Bill that it's a fun fest. There's going to be a lot of great food. We know that. The entertainment is going to be off the hook. Hopefully next week, we're going to speak to one of the big acts that will be playing at what we'll call a fun fest. But my question to you, though, is I read in the press release about the kids zone, because, you know, obviously it's kid friendly. A lot of kids are going to be there. A lot of families are going to be there. But boy, sometimes it's nice if you could just shuffle the kids off into an area that they're going to be entertained for a while. And tell us a little bit about the kid zone and what's going to be in that area.
Right. Well, kid zone, just like it sounds, the area set up to incorporate fun activities for the kids. So that could be anything from bouncers, water slides. We may have some trotting animals around. I'll say trotting like the ponies or horses.
Okay.
Yeah, a little trot. Of course, some, you know, face painting and, you know, little we have one guy that I believe for the first day may have a little pull-around train for some of the youngsters. You know, that's always fun for them to ride through the park.
Yeah.
Those type of activities will be ongoing throughout the day, and we're working on some other things, and I'll keep one of them kind of quiet for now, let's just say, a little what we call teaser for later. But we're working on something really fun for the kids that they will really identify with at FunFest and always want to be around. And no, Mark, I'm sorry that's not just you, because, you know, you know the thing with kids, love you, man. You know, wherever you go, you're like a rock star with the kids. They're great for all the stuff you've done for kids in the past. Super stuff. And we'll have to kidnap you one day and get you up here anyway. We're just going to do that.
Sure.
But
yeah, no problem.
For all the kids, you know, stay tuned, because the Kid Zone is going to have a really cool identity pretty soon, and we're working on that. And you know, as we go into the Fun Fest, you definitely want to be there every Friday. Don't miss, you know, because there's going to be something different.
Okay. Well, that, you know, and what I like too, Seminole Bill, is that this is part of the deal also, is that when you teamed up with them to be a celebrity guest host and to be a part of this, I like how you're getting included on everything, because that's nice. Because when you stand up there and you're hosting stuff and you're speaking to everybody, it's good that you actually are not just a paid talent that comes in and, you know, they're paying you for your service to get publicity. I like that, you know, you're involved in some of the stuff. Now, my first question, you mentioned face painting. I would like to know, are you or Terminus Eric going to get, you know, like a face painting of the Mark Lloyd Show, that football and those two biceps on maybe your forehead? Is there a possibility of that?
That, you know what? That's a good point, Mark.
Terminus Eric, man, the lady will flock to you.
I'll volunteer and put it on my forehead. But I got to correct Seminole Bill. He said every Friday.
Oh, well, you're right. It is every other Friday, Terminus. My fault. I get so excited when I say that. But what I mean is, don't miss a Friday. Let's say it that way. Don't miss a Friday event. When we're on out there and we start July 3rd, you know, when it comes back around every other Friday, be there. Make sure you're there. There will always be something new to taste or something new to see or something new to do.
You know what I like, too, is that I'm just noticing. Now, what time are you guys – since you're celebrity guest host, you're going to be there right when it opens up around 11 o'clock, right? It opens up at 11 a.m.?
Yeah. Right.
Okay,
right.
All right, so you're there. So we encourage all of our fans out there and everybody to come on up to Seminole Bill, say hi to him and Terminus Eric. And the great thing is it goes right till dark, so you got the whole day. You get your stuff done in the morning and then proceed out to Wakulla Fun Fest. Once again, visit the website, WakullaFunFest.com, for more information. Well, guys, you know, that's going to do it. Another jam-packed show, the Mark Lloyd Show. We got so many different things. So, for Seminole Bill and Terminus Eric, I'm Mark Lloyd. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks, everybody. See ya.